Okay, good evening. let's talk a little bit more about Kiddush. So as I mentioned in the email, I want to touch on a couple of points tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the process of Kiddush, you know, exactly how we make Kiddush, which we began a little bit last week. Then we'll talk a little bit about the actual kos, the actual Kiddush cup. There are some halachos that pertain to the Kiddush cup. And then we'll talk about the wine. Some interesting things pertaining to the wine. Okay, so first of all, it's important to recognize that when we make Kiddush, we're making it over a cup of wine. That cup, therefore, has the halacha of a kos shel bracha. Kos shel bracha, literally a cup of blessing. Really, any time we do something of significance over a cup of wine, that cup becomes a kos shel bracha. So, for example, we were at a wedding last night. The kos that's under the chuppah, that's a kos shel bracha, right? You're making the birchas erusin on the first cup, then you're making the sheva brachas on the second cup. Anytime you bench over a cup of wine, for those who have that custom, we know at a sheva bracha, certainly we do that. Many people have the custom to do that on Shabbos and Yontif, as I mentioned in the past. Used to be that people had the custom to do it all the time, even during the week, as strange as that might sound to us. But that has the halach of a kos shel bracha. So anytime you're doing something of significance over a cup of wine, that becomes a kos shel bracha. Because the kos shel bracha is a holy cup, it's a cup of blessing, so there are certain halachos regarding a kos shel bracha. So first of all, there's some interesting things, and we'll see that these things are not ma'akev, which means if you don't do them, it's okay. They don't withhold your, they don't stand in the way of you fulfilling your mitzvah. But some interesting things that you might have noticed people doing, and the Shulchan Aruch and Rama actually discuss them, different hidurim and you know, kind of a nice way of going about the mitzvah. So for example, if you look at source number 3, the Shulchan Aruch writes that when you pick up a kos shel bracha, mekablo b'shtei yadav, you should pick it up with both hands. Why? Because when you pick something up with both hands, it shows a certain chashivus. It shows, you know, you care about what the item that you're picking up. Right? You know, things that we don't care about too much, so we throw them around, we grab them, you know, here and there. But things that we're very, you know, if you're talking about money, you're talking about jewelry, we're very careful with it. We hold it with two hands. You know, whenever I give my kids something, you know, I don't want them to break it. Hold it with two hands. You know, hold it with two hands. So that's what we do. Anything that we want to be careful with, we hold with two hands. So this is why we take the kos shel bracha, we take it with two hands. Some, by the way, have the custom, and I know that the shul has the custom here, that somebody actually places the kos shel bracha into the hands of the mevarich. So if you notice at Shalosh Shudis, right, you know, my first Shabbos, I went to pick up the cup, and right, and you know, somebody picks it up, usually I think Alan, right, picks it up, and he puts it in my hand, and that's a kavod. It's a kavod for the kos shel bracha. My father, growing up, my father did the same thing for benching. We had the same custom at home. So it's, you know, it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch Rambam, but that is a custom that does exist. Now, u'kishemaschil levarich, not lo b'yamino, which hand do you hold in it? So says the Shulchan Aruch, you should hold it in your right hand. You should hold it in your right hand, right? Velo yisayeh b'smo. Not only should you hold it in your right hand, but you shouldn't even hold it at all with your left hand. Right? You shouldn't hold it at all. I mean, you pick it up with both hands. Oh, look at this. Exhibit A. Right? You pick it up with both hands, but then you hold it with your right hand. Right? Then you let go with your left hand, you hold it with your right hand. Okay? Now, comes the Rama and mentions, by the way, when we say that you can't help with your left hand, that means the actual cup, right? You're holding, that means you shouldn't be holding both, you shouldn't be holding the cup with both hands, writes the Rama. Right? It's just that the left hand shouldn't be touching the cup to help you out. But let's say you're holding it with your right hand, and you know, your right hand is a little schwach. So you want to support your right hand with your left hand, like this. I'm glad I brought this back, right? You want to support your right hand like this. So your left hand is not touching the cup. It's just holding up your arm, or it's holding up your hand. So that's fine, says the Rama. That's not a problem. That is mutar. When you lift the cup, umakbio me'akarka tefach. So the first case we're talking about is sitting on the ground. We don't do that anymore, but you know, people used to sit on the ground when they ate. They didn't have, you know, fancy dining room sets like we have. So you should lift it up a tefach. Tefach is about this much. So you should lift it up about a tefach above the ground. Again, it's all chashivus. You're showing a certain significance for the kos shel bracha. V'imu yoshev al gabei karka, that's obviously if you're sitting on the ground. V'imesev b'shulchan, if you're sitting on a table, at a table. Magbil mi'al ha'shulchan tefach, you should also raise it above the table, a tefach, which most people do. But sometimes you see people just, you know, raise it like, you know, just a half an inch above the table. you know, it's okay, but it's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to raise it a tefach. You should keep your eyes on the cup. We mentioned this in the past, right? That when you're making kiddush, you should keep your eyes on the cup. We say with the exception, perhaps, of Vayechulu Friday night, because there you want to read what you're saying. As we mentioned, it's not good to recite psukim by heart, especially when you're, you know, being motzi other people in their obligation. So Vayechulu is appropriate to look in, inside the bencher. And the whole kiddush, you can look inside the bencher if you need to, if you need to know the words. But if you know by heart, it's a nice thing to look at the kosh shabracha. And then u'mishagru le'ishto shetishta mimenu. Right? And finally, the Ramah ends off that you should send it to your wife. You know, after you drink from it, send it to your wife, that she should drink from the kosh shabracha also. Even though we know, I mentioned in a Shabbos here once, that the halacha is that it really, you know, everyone sitting at a table doesn't have to drink. Right? You don't have to drink. As long as the Mavarech drinks a Mali Lugmav, he drinks a cheekful, that's fine. Everybody's Yotze, and nobody has to drink. Nobody else has to drink. That's why in Shul, Shabbos morning, I make Kiddush, nobody drinks, and everybody goes in and has Kiddush. And when I was in Yeshiva, you know, 300 people in the dining room, the Rebbe that's eating there makes Kiddush. You know, we don't all, you know, converge on his table to get a little bit of the wine. Some people do, but generally, everybody just gets up and goes to wash, right? All you have to do is hear Kiddush. Somebody has to drink from the wine, usually the Mavarech. But that's it. But here the Ramah says that even if no one else is drinking, send it to your wife. Send it to your wife. It's a kol shel bracha, right? Doesn't hurt. It's a kol shel bracha. It's a nice thing to taste from the kol shel bracha, so you send it to your wife. We know that many of us have the custom that everybody has a little bit, you know, assuming it's a manageable crowd, everybody has a little bit from the coast because it is a kol shel bracha, and it's a good thing to drink from a kol shel bracha. So that's the halacha when it comes to that. By the way, some of you may have seen that people hold the Kiddush cup like this, right, in the palm of their hand, okay? So this is based on Kabbalah. It's based on Kabbalah. I can't really explain it to you, but it has something to do with the fact that the cup is then surrounded by your fingers. Your fingers are going up. I don't know exactly the mysticism behind it, but it is based on Kabbalah, and that's why you might see people holding the Kiddush cup in their palm. It's based on Kabbalah. If you don't want to do that, if you want to hold it like this, it's fine. Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, Mishnah Berurah, nobody says anything about holding it in the palm, to the best of my knowledge. Nobody says anything. Now something in the back of my head is telling me that maybe it is somewhere in the Mishnah Berurah, but I don't remember offhand if it is, but certainly holding it like this is fine. I remember hearing after Rav Avadya Yosef passed away. He had a great grandson in DRS, believe it or not. Rav Avadya Yosef had a great grandson in DRS. A little boy by the name, he wasn't little, I mean he was a cute little guy, by the name of Ezra Dweck. So Dweck, you know, is a Sephardi name, it's a Syrian name, so Rav Avadya wasn't Syrian, but I guess there was some sort of intermarriage along the way. And Rav Avadya's granddaughter married this boy's father, Rabbi Dweck. And so Rabbi Dweck, who was married the granddaughter of Rav Avadya, came to be maspid him, came to give him a eulogy after he passed away in DRS, and he spoke to us about Rav Avadya. You know, it was a very, very, you know, it's an interesting perspective. You don't always get to hear a hesped of a gadol from somebody who's actually related to him that you can understand, right? That will come to your school, you know? So this was an exception, but it was really a treat to hear from him. One of the things he mentioned was that Rav Avadya, when he made Kiddush, he picked up the cup. He said also that, he ate at Rav Avadya's house many times. He said he witnessed this with his own eyes. First of all, he said he wasn't wearing his hat and jacket when he made Kiddush. Maybe sometimes he was, but he certainly wasn't always wearing his hat and jacket for Kiddush. You know, he said he had his jacket off, just his shirt. I think he wore suspenders of Avadya, and he said he came to the Kiddush cup, picked it up like this, and made Kiddush, and that was it, right? None of, you know, he didn't hold it in his palm, he didn't wear his jacket and hat. You know, so many people have different hidurim, but again, these things are all kind of extra credit, so to speak. They're not the ikar halacha. What about a lefty? So we know very often when it comes to halacha, different halachas that are mentioned that you should do things with your right hand, hold it in your right hand. So what happens with a lefty? We just had this a little bit over Sukkis when we talked about Dalet Minim. You know, the lefties switch the Dalet Minim. So what do you do with Kiddush? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that if you are a lefty, you should hold it in your left hand. Hold it in your strong hand. Okay? Writes the Shulchan Aruch in Source number 4. Yesh Misha Omer. He says that some say this. She'im ha-mevarech iter, if he's a lefty, oches hakos b'yimino shehu smol kol adam. Now here when it says yimino, it means his strong hand. It says his right hand, but it means his strong hand, which is the left hand of everyone. Right? Everyone's left hand is his strong hand. So therefore, he should hold it in his left hand. Basically, you should hold it in your strong hand. So most people, the majority, I don't know what the percentages are, but the majority of people are righties, so you hold it in your right hand. And those who are lefties should hold the kos in their left hand, because again, you hold it in your strong hand to show chashivus, to show a certain significance to that kos shel bracha. Now, what if a person is ambidextrous? Right? What's called in halachi, sholeit b'shtei yadav. He uses both hands equally. So comes the Mishnah Berura, and by the way, these kind of halachas get very complicated with tefillin. Well, when it comes to tefillin, so we know righties, we know put on tefillin on the left arm. Lefties put tefillin on the right arm. Ambidextrous people, you can't put tefillin on both, right? First of all, it's hard to maneuver and it gets expensive. So ambidextrous, you know, sometimes you see people who actually put tefillin on one arm, and then at the end of davening, I've seen this before, at the end of davening, they take it off and they switch and they put it on the other arm. You know, they not for the whole davening, but at the end of davening, they switch. Sometimes people who are ambidextrous do this to fulfill certain shitos. If you look at source number 5, right, the Mishnah Berura, v'imusholit b'shtei yadav, if it's a person making kiddush, and he's ambidextrous, he uses both hands equally, ocheiz b'yamin shu yamin kol adam. So then he should go by the majority. Majority of people are righties, so he should hold it in his right hand. Now, very, very important, writes the Mishnah Berura, that everything that we just mentioned, is, as we said before, is not ma'akev. Which means it doesn't hold back you from fulfilling the mitzvah if you don't do these things. These are all nice things to do. They're all hidurim. They're all, you know, nice things to do. They're not required. Okay? If you don't do any of these things, it's okay. You're still yotzei if you didn't pick up the kos with two hands, if you held it a little bit with your left hand, if you didn't lift it up a tefach, you just lifted it up an inch. You know, either way, all these things that we mentioned are all hidurim. They're all nice things to do. Shows a certain chashivus to the kos. But they're not required. They're not required. These are not required things. Right? The Mishnah Berurah is finishing off in source number 5. It's all a hidur mitzvah. These are all hidurim. It's a nice thing. L'chatchila, ideally, try to do these things. If you didn't do it, person doesn't do it, person doesn't know, it's okay. It's not a problem. Not only that, but comes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, and says, even if you didn't even pick up the cup, let's say I have the cup sitting down, right here, it's just sitting on the table. I'm standing, and I make Kiddush, like this. Am I Yotze? I'm not even picking up the cup. Right? So the answer is, yes, you're Yotze. You're still Yotze. Right? So Shulchan Aruch, in source number 6, Sha'af shekol shel Kiddush tzorech sheyochezenu biyado, even though, really, you should be holding the cup of Kiddush, nevertheless, mikom akom ein ze ma'akev b'di'evet. Again, b'di'evet, if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akev. Now, this is a little bit stronger than the others, meaning there's a little bit more of a requirement to hold the cup of Kiddush and not just to leave it on the table. I wouldn't call that a hidur mitzvah lechatchila, the way that the Mishnah Berurah characterized the others. But nevertheless, if you didn't do it, if a person didn't do it, let's say a person's very weak, has shaky hands, something like that, So that's it. You don't have to do it. When it comes to Kiddush, you can leave it on the table, and you're still Yotzei Kiddush. You're still Yotzei. It's not Ma'akev B'di'evet. Okay. So that's all in terms of the process of making Kiddush. If we think about the actual cup of wine. So there are certain halachos regarding this cup of wine. So for example. Well, actually, kind of as an introduction, in source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Mekadesh al kos mole yayin shelo yihye pagum." Number one, the kos should be mole, should be full, should be mole yayin, like a full cup. Because again, a full cup is a nice, significant cup. You know, you're not shortchanging it at all. It's a nice full cup of wine. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to be. You know, what do they call that in physics? When the in the meniscus, right? You don't need necessarily the wine to be over the cup, right? But it should be full. Now, there's no measurements if it's a drop under the rim. It's okay. Also, you know, it shouldn't be 3/4 full. It shouldn't be 5/6 full. You should fill it up. But it doesn't. There's no halacha that it has to spill when you pick it up, right? That's not a halacha. Sometimes people only fill it up to the point where it's going to spill. That's not a halacha. You know, you can still fill it up to the point that it's not going to spill. But, it should be full. It should be full, without giving precise measurements. But it should be full. Pagum we'll talk about a little bit later. But that's also a requirement that it can't be pagum. V'ton kol mashaton kol shel birchas hamazon. And he says also, it requires everything that a kos of birchas hamazon requires. After all, again, Kos of Birchas Hamazon, a kos of benching, is a kol shel bracha. This too is a kol shel bracha. So they have many of the same halachos. What are some of those halachos? So writes the Mishnah Berura, two main ones. Number one, it should be a kos shalem. If you look at number eight, Hainu sheihiyah hakos shalem. What does a kos shalem mean? You shouldn't have any, you shouldn't have any chunks missing from the cup. It should be a nice whole cup. You know, you shouldn't have any significant cracks in the cup, which, you know, are letting, letting some of the liquid out. It's leaking everywhere, but this is the cup that my, elter Zaydi used, so I have to use it. Okay, but if it's not a nice cup, and it has a big crack, and it has a chunk missing out of it, so you shouldn't use it. Now, that doesn't mean that if a cup has a dent, you shouldn't use it, right? Just a dent doesn't make it not shalem, because I think any silver becher that's been in the same house with little children has some dents in it, right? Or some teeth marks or whatever else you might find on the becher. But that's okay. If it has if it has a couple of dents here and there or a couple of nicks, that's okay. When it says it has to be shalem, it just means it can't have a chunk missing out of it or it can't be a significant crack. That's really what we're referring to. Also, the cup should be clean. Now, this sounds kind of obvious, right? But, it wasn't always, hygiene wasn't always the way that it is today, and etiquette wasn't always the way that it wasn't always the way that it is today. And the halacha was always, for all time, that a kosher bracha has to be clean. It has to be washed out for, on the inside and the outside. Meaning, even if the outside is dirty, the outside is sticky, the inside is perfectly, sparkling clean, but the outside has some kind of a sticky residue, you should wash it off. It's kosher bracha. It should be a nice cup. Some people are even machmir, that even if it's clean, as like a special extra chumrah, before they make kiddush, before they make anything, they wash it out, inside and out. Just as like to double check, just to make sure. That's an extra chumrah. Most poskim hold that as long as it's clean, you can see that it's clean, you don't need to rinse it out again. But it should be rinsed out, certainly if it was used, you should rinse it out again. Even if you're making kiddush, by the way. Let's say I'm making kiddush, I made kiddush for my family, and I drank, we finished the whole cup, and now my son, runs in, he missed kiddush. So, okay, I'm going to make kiddush again for him, right? Make kiddush again for let's assume my son is above bar mitzvah, okay? Just to get out of any technical problems. He's above bar mitzvah, he wants to hear kiddush, he didn't hear kiddush, so I can make kiddush again for him, right? Yatsa motzi, I'm allowed to make kiddush again. Even though I already made kiddush, I can make kiddush for someone else who hasn't heard yet, right? That I'm allowed to do. But I got to wash out the cup, even if it's empty. Right, it's my own germs. I'm not nervous about my own germs, so I could just technically just fill the cup back up and make kiddush again. No, once you used it once, now it's dirty inside. You got to wash it out. Wash it out inside and out, and then you can refill it and use it again. So those are some of the things that are required when it comes to the kiddush cup. Now, very interesting shiloh, which comes up, I would say, every single Shabbos, is what about a disposable cup? What about a disposable cup? Very often you go to a big kiddush. So here I make kiddush, there's a nice silver becher here in congregation-based tefillah. But let's say somebody didn't hear my kiddush, okay? And now they want to make kiddush in the social hall. And there's grape juice there, there's wine, whatever there is there. You don't have a becher for everybody, right? Or you don't have one becher sitting there that people are just using, That'd be kind of gross. Everybody's just using the same becher. So you have a bunch of plastic cups, a bunch of disposable cups. So are you allowed to make kiddush with a disposable cup? Now, we all know that people do it, right? But, are you allowed to do it? It's not such a nice cup. You're going to toss it in the garbage when you're done. But anytime you go to a big kiddush, you go to a simcha, you're at a bar mitzvah, and they have, at the table, you have plastic cups, and you don't have a becher for everybody at the table who wants to make their own kiddush. So what do you do? What's the halacha regarding these plastic cups? So comes Rav Henkin, one of the great gedolim of the last generation, certainly here in America. He was very instrumental in setting up really halachic systems here in America. Comes Rav Henkin in source number 9 in his tshuva, and he writes al devar kosos niyar, right? Paper cups or disposable cups, im yesh lahem din kli. If we're going to consider it a kli, that's really the question. Do you consider a paper cup or a plastic cup to be a kli? A kli of significance. Any roach shash b'zeh. He says, I don't see such a problem. I don't really see such a problem making kiddush with a disposable cup. Now, he says, listen, I'm not saying that it's the ideal, right? Move on. Shemitzvah levarich al kos na'eh, right? Certainly, it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's certainly a good thing to make a kiddush on a beautiful cup, on a nice becher, a nice silver becher. That's certainly a hodu thing to do. That seems to be the minhag klal Yisrael, is we make kiddush on with a nice silver becher. That's everybody does that. So it's certainly a nice thing to do, but If a person doesn't have it, you're at a kiddush and there is no becher there, or you're stuck somewhere and all you have is a disposable cup, let's say a person's poor, can't afford to buy a silver becher, right? No problem, you can make kiddush with a plastic cup, with a disposable cup. That's Rav Henkin's psak. Rav Moshe Feinstein was not so excited about this psak. He didn't really like this psak. Comes Rav Moshe Feinstein and writes, really, you should not be making kiddush with a plastic cup. Okay, if you look at source number 10, which turns over to the second page here, he writes, Hinei v'dvar, kos l'kiddush, im rashoin la'asos al-kos sh'nasim v'niyarshu kli rak l'sha'a. It's a temporary kli, right? Disposable, you throw it out, you use it once, chad pa'ami, as they call it in Israel, you know, and then you toss it, you throw it in the garbage. Sheshama asher asarti. You know, whoever's asking in the shal, you know, you heard that I forbade this, that I said it was usher. Emes hadavar, it's true. I said it was usher, right? I say it's usher. You should not use a disposable cup for kiddush. Why? Shenemar be'advar matzrichim mikosho bracha, hu sheyeh hakos gufo kli sholem. One of the requirements of kosho bracha is that it should be a sholem, a kli sholem. And Rav Moshe says, in my opinion, I don't think a disposable cup is a kli. It's not even a kli. Forget kli sholem. It's not even a kli. Okay? Not only, right? Alma deboinan sheyeh hakos na'eh, shirak kos kazeh, kosho lebrechas amazon ul kiddush. It has to be a nice cup. You know, you need a kli. V'ro'ani shekos shel niyar, shurak l'sho'a apam zeh levad. And you know, you have a paper cup, a disposable cup, who owed garua de ain lo shum chashivus. He says, not only is it not a kli, but it's completely insignificant. Nobody cares about a paper cup. You don't really care too much if you waste a paper cup, if you waste a plastic cup. It's, you know, it's worth pennies. It has no chashivus whatsoever. Shavade ain lo ra'oi lebrichas amazon le kiddush. You certainly should not use it for brichas amazon and kiddush. That's what Rav Moshe says. Now, what if you're stuck? What if you're stuck? So says Rav Moshe, if you're stuck, maybe you can be lenient. Maybe. Writes Rav Moshe, Ach kishleka kos acher, ula yesh lahakel. Maybe you can be lenient. So even if you're stuck, he's not so excited about it. Says Rav Moshe, make a kiddush. You know, you should do it in a bakavadik way. You should do it in a nice way. Don't use a plastic cup, a paper cup, disposable cup. It seems to be that the minhag ha'olam is that people do make kiddush on a plastic cup if they don't have any other cup. Certainly at home, nobody uses plastic cups. I don't think, you know, most people don't use plastic cups. You have a nice, you know, nice becher, a nice cup. Even if your becher is being polished at the silver store, okay, so use a glass cup. You know, use something more, something of significance. But the minhag is that when you have, you know, people at a kiddush, and you have to make kiddush, nobody keeps a becher there for everybody to wash out and rinse out and use the becher. Everybody makes kiddush on a plastic cup. There is a minhag that developed somehow, to make kiddush on two plastic cups. I never understood this minhag, because to me, one plastic cup is disposable, and two plastic cups is more disposable. Double disposable. So I never really understood that you lend so much more chashivus. You know, maybe with those like really flimsy ones, you know, those like really flimsy Israeli-style plastic cups. So maybe if you have like a few more, it gives a little more, you know, gives a little sturdiness to the cup, maybe. But even that, I wouldn't call that a chashivus. That just makes it so that it's not like, you know, just squishing in your hand. There is such a minhag. I've never seen it in print. Rav Moshe doesn't talk about it. Rav Henkin doesn't talk about it. I never saw it in print. Maybe somewhere in some sefer that they bring this minhag. And I've seen, you know, I mean, we've all seen people doing it. You know, people do it. I personally don't do it. If I try to make kiddush with a becher, like Rav Moshe says, I try. If I'm stuck and I'm at a kiddush and there's no becher there, so I use a plastic cup. You know, but I just use one. I don't know if someone finds a source for two, I'm happy to see it. But I don't really understand it. There might be differences also when some people I know, like I know for the Seder, my wife likes to get, you know, we don't have a becher for everybody at the Seder. So, you know, you go to Amazing Savings, they have these plastic silver looking cups, you know, these like fake kiddush cups that, you know, became a little bit, Amazing Savings really brought them onto the five towns scene, I think. So those cups, you know, although they are disposable still, maybe they have a little more chashivus. You know, I've seen people washing them out and rinsing them and reusing them. So they might have a little bit more chashivus. They certainly look nicer than a regular, you know, plastic cup. So maybe they have a little more chashivus. Maybe Rav Moshe wouldn't be so upset about those type of cups. You know, I wouldn't overdo it. I've seen some of them washed out till they're like the paint is washing off. You know, okay, like time to invest, you know, another $4.99 for another package. But you know, so maybe those are a little bit better. But nevertheless, I think that we should try, as much as possible, to use a becher. If you can't, if you're in a kiddush and that's all they have, so you can use a plastic cup, like Rav Moshe says, Ulai, and Rav Henkin certainly says, yeah.
What about a cup with a stem versus a stemless cup? Is one better than the other?
To the best of my knowledge, no. I don't know that there's any preference for a kiddush cup with a stem or without. I know that when I got married, my father's becher is without a stem. He doesn't have, no pitam. He doesn't have a pitam on his becher, right? He just has just a plain becher. That's how I grew up. My father-in-law has a nice big kiddush cup with a stem. I personally don't like stems. I find it's harder to hold. You don't have as much control. So I told my wife when we got married, because I knew that she wanted to get me a becher, I said, please no stem. I said, Baruch Hashem, she got me a becher without a stem. That's what I use. So, but it's not, if you like a stem or whatever, that's what your wife got you. It's a beautiful cup. Yeah.
There are some people who, even if they come to your house, they're not fit to make their own kiddush.
Right.
So is it better, for if you only have one coast, let's say like here in Shul, to have the Rav who's making kiddush for the Yotze, everybody, rather than have the opportunity to make your own kiddush on a plastic cup?
According to Rav Moshe, certainly yes. According to Rav Moshe, certainly yes. But I'll tell you, even according to Rav Henkin, it's better, and I'll tell you why. The halacha is that there's a concept called Berov Am Hadras Melech, which means that if you do a mitzvah with a bigger crowd, it's an even better mitzvah. It's a better mitzvah, right? You do a mitzvah by yourself with 2-3 people, it's nice. But you do a mitzvah with 100 people, right? Berov Am Hadras Melech, it brings even more glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the halacha is that when it comes to mitzvahs, especially in that type of scenario, it's actually preferable, if you're going to someone else's house, not to make your own kiddush. Preferable not to make your own kiddush. Some people like to, I know, they always like to make their own kiddush. But it's, and as a host, it's the right thing to do, it's the nice thing to do to offer, that, if people want to make their own kiddush. But how purely halachically speaking, it's better, even forgetting about the cup, even if you have 10 bechers there, for everybody to use, it's better for one person, the Baal HaBayis, to make kiddush, and everybody else should be yotze. That's preferable, just, halachically speaking, in terms of a kol shel bracha. If you read the, they have these haggados of the Gedola Yisrael, different gedolim, and you read, they have in the beginning different hanhagos and the way that they conducted their sedarim, and almost, across the board, in the sedarim of these gedolim, they did everything. The Rav, the Baal HaBayis, sitting at the table, they made one hamotzi for everybody, they made one kiddush for everybody, they did everything, and everybody else was yotze. Everybody has to drink 4 cups, that we need, and everybody has to have a kesayis of matzah. But in terms of who's making the bracha, and being motzi everyone else, that's it. They were the ones who did it, and they passed the matzah out to everybody, they made kiddush for everybody. That's the preferable way to do it. So certainly, if you only have one becher, in like the case of a shul kiddush, it's better. It's better to be yotze with that, for in terms of the Berov Am Hadras Melech, and in terms of the kos. So you have two real benefits there. Okay, the last thing about a kos is just in number 11, the Sha'ar Tzion points out that a kos shel bracha has to hold a revius of wine. It has to be big enough that it holds a revius of wine. We mentioned this also in the Shabbos here. Again, a revius of wine is hard to measure because there are many different opinions as to what it is. So the Chazon Ish, anywhere from about 2.9 fluid ounces, which is the lowest end, that's from Chaim Noah, all the way to 5.1, which is the Chazon Ish, and you have Rav Moshe in the middle somewhere, about 4.2 or so. Rav Moshe is in the middle, so you have many different shitos when it comes to how much is a revius. Most big bechers that they make nowadays, hold much more than 5 ounces. 5 ounces is not that much. Those little cocktail, not the shot glass. A classic shot glass is an ounce. But they have, even at the Kiddush here, we have those little grape juice cups, like the little wine cups. Those are usually 5 ounces. So that's like almost the Chazon Ish in terms of that. And if you use a standard plastic cup, it's 7 ounces. And, going up from there, and my silver becher, I don't know, must hold 10. I think I always feel it like Pesach time, by the third coast, I'm feeling the 10 ounces already. So, the modern day kosos hold a lot. It's very interesting. If you have, some kind of an heirloom from your grandfather, your great grandfather, very often they were smaller. People didn't have as much money. And if they're making a silver cup, they made them smaller. That's all they could afford. So very often you have the you have to be careful sometimes to make sure at least it should be hold at least it should hold 3 ounces. If it doesn't hold 3 ounces, you can't really use it. 3 ounces is the minimum. That's the minimum shear of a revius. The Mishnah Brura says that a person should really try to be makbid for the Chazanish and hold a cup that has at least 5 ounces. It's interesting. Apparently they found the cup of the Mishnah Brura and his was smaller. Apparently they measured it and his was actually smaller. But again, maybe that's all he could get. It could be that's all he could afford, and that's all he could get at the time. And he held, alpi halacha, it's better to have a bigger one. But if that's all you have, that's all you have. So, but at least it should be three. I mean, most Kiddush cups, unless you're using like a little kid's one, most Kiddush cups, I think, hold at least 3 ounces. So at least you have the minimum shear. But the best thing to do is to hold a kos that has that holds, at least 5 ounces if you want to be Yotzei 5.1, if you want to be Yotzei the Chazon Ish. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the wine with which you make Kiddush. So, the big question is, should you make Kiddush on wine or should you make Kiddush on grape juice? Which one is preferable? So there's actually an interesting question. Some actually raise the question, can you even make Kiddush on grape juice at all? Grape juice is not wine, it's not intoxicating, there's no alcohol at all in grape juice. Maybe you can't even make Kiddush on it. Maybe it shouldn't be a bari priyag ofen. Maybe it should be a shahakal. Orange juice is shahakal. Whatever. Tomato juice is shahakal. Usually when you extract juice from a fruit, it's shahakal. So maybe grape juice, until it fertilizes and becomes wine, maybe it should be shahakal. Maybe it shouldn't be a bari priyag ofen at all. And this question was raised, the Hartzvi, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, dealt with this shayla. And he writes that the person who wrote to him basically questioned that maybe people shouldn't be making Kiddush on grape juice at all. And he said, not so fast. And he writes in source number 12, there's actually some opinions that hold it's better to make Kiddush on grape juice. So he said, that's not correct. Right? Says the Har Tzvi, that's not correct. It's certainly not better to make Kiddush on grape juice. Certainly, he says the Magen Avraham, and he says that's how we paskin. Wine is the best. Wine is the best. It's the best thing to do, mitzvah min hamuchar, to make Kiddush on wine. That's the best thing to do, no question. However, what you wrote about ma'ash mosif she'ein levarich alzeh bari priyagofen mekatshelov, but that which you wrote that maybe even you should not make Kiddush on grape juice, you should not make a bari priyagofen on grape juice, That you took too far. Lichora, hifriz alamida, that you took too far. So he says you certainly can make a bar priyag ofen on grape juice. You can certainly make Kiddush on grape juice, but it's not ideal. It's not the mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is to make Kiddush on wine. And that's how we paskin, halacha lemaase. The best way to do it is really to make Kiddush on wine. That's preferable. If a person can't stomach wine, is allergic to wine, any of those things, Then you can certainly make Kiddush on grape juice. You're certainly Yotze. In shul, we make Kiddush on grape juice. So you're certainly Yotze with that. But it's a nice thing to do to make it on wine. Wines also, you can find nowadays, 4% wine, 4.5%. I use, the Rashi Light. It's like 4.5%. It's very cheap. So it's not an issue. It used to be, it was a real issue. People couldn't afford wine. Now, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem. Sometimes grape juice is even more expensive.
Does it matter if it's facial or not?
We'll talk about that.
Is this
halacha lemaisa, or this is... Halacha lemaisa. Preferable to use wine, but you can use grape juice.
Say you like grape juice.
Yeah. Even if you like grape juice, you should still use wine. It's an objective...
Mavarik, right? Because nobody else has to drink.
Yeah. And if they want, they can drink some grape juice. Ah. You can make a bari priyag ofen on a cup of wine, and you drink the wine, and everybody can have a little bit of grape juice. They're yotze, and they're not drinking from the kosher bracha, but if it makes them feel good, they want to have something, so you give them grape juice. I do that at the table. I make Kiddush on wine every week, and I give my kids grape juice. They want a little wine. I put a little wine in the grape juice. It depends also if we want them to sleep longer. Put a little more wine. But it's actually interesting. My father, growing up, always made Kiddush on wine, and then he heard a talk from Rabbi Doctor Abraham J. Tversky, who's a big psychologist. Rabbi also is a big psychologist. And he dealt his whole career with addictions. And he heard some kind of a scary talk from Rabbi Tversky, and he switched to making Kiddush on grape juice. So growing up, my father always made Kiddush on grape juice when we were little. When we got a little bit older, he switched back to wine, because it's better, api alacha, to make it on wine. When we were little, he only made it on grape juice, because after this talk. It's actually interesting. I heard the opposite statistic, actually. that and you know you have to. I'm not, it's off the record. It's on the record, I guess. But I'm not sure. If you'd have to verify if this is true. But some say that that the Orthodox Jewish population, percentage wise, again across the board, has less of a problem with, or at least the kids. I don't know about the adults, but the kids have less of a problem with alcoholism because they're introduced to alcohol in a controlled and a ritualistic way. So there's some wanted to claim that there was some sort of statistic out there. I don't know if it's a real statistic or it's just a conjecture that kids growing up in Orthodox households actually have less of a problem with alcohol because every Shabbos they have a little bit of a little bit of wine or whatever. I'm just throwing that out there, for all the sociologists out there, you could do your own research. But it's certainly preferable to make it on wine. Now, is there a preference, red wine or white wine? Red wine or white wine? Some people like white, some people like red. Is there a preference? So writes the Shulchan Aruch, Mekadshin al Yayin Lavan. You're allowed to make Kiddush on white wine. You're allowed. Okay? However, the Haramban posted the Kiddush afilu b'dieved. But the Ramban holds, you're not even Yotze if you make Kiddush on white wine. Okay, not only shouldn't you, you're not even Yotze. You have to make Kiddush again if you made it on white wine. That's the Ramban's opinion. So again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that opinion, but he brings it. He brings the Ramban's opinion. So it's a chumrah that some people have. They only try to make Kiddush on red wine to be Yotze, this shita of the Ramban. But if you like white wine, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that you're allowed to use white wine, so you don't have to worry. But there is a certain hiddur, benefit to using red wine. But he says you can. Even the Ramban holds you can make a havdalah on white wine. We'll talk about havdalah, a little bit later when we get to it. Uminag olam kisvar rishona, as we said, we paskin our minag is that we do make kiddush on white wine. You can make it on white wine if you prefer. So scotch, we talked about on Shabbos. First of all, Friday night, you can't make it on scotch. You have to make it on, wine or grape juice. During the day, so that's what we talked about a bunch of weeks ago on Shabbos. We talked about that there is a custom. Some have a custom of making kiddush on schnapps. We talked about some of the pitfalls of that. It's not glot. It's not, it's not such a, I wouldn't recommend it, lechatchila, as a great way to make kiddush. And you have run into problems because you're using a small glass and you're not drinking that much, some of the problems we talked about. But if it is your minhag, it was a long-standing minhag. Many people have this minhag. If it's your minhag, the Shabbos day you make kiddush on schnapps, I'm not here to stop you.
But you make it on wine and then you have your schnapps.
That you could do. Everything in moderation. okay. Now, by the way, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to make kiddush on white wine, it's still better to make kiddush on red wine. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in source number 14. Ulakulei hama mitzvah lechatchila lechazer achar yayin adom. It's better to make it on red wine. Dimein lo adom o sheino meshubach svir ledeyazu demotu lechatchila kadish alavan. But if you don't have red wine, or let's say the white wine that you have is a better quality white wine, so then you can make it on the white. It's mutter to make it on the white. But all other things being equal, it's better to make it on red wine. Red wine is objectively considered to be more chash of wine. Halachically speaking, objectively it's considered to be more chash of wine, but again, you can make it on white. You have to ask the real wine connoisseurs, what's more chash of in the wine world, red or white. I think even today, red is still more chash of in the wine world, but certainly according to halacha, that is the case. So again, lechatchila, all other things being equal, it's better to make it on red. I'm not talking about Pesach, by the way. Pesach, there's other considerations to make it on red. I'm talking about just a regular Shabbos. If you like white wine better, or if the white wine is, that you have, happens to be a special, $200 bottle of white wine, is a special wine, so then certainly you can make it on white wine, even lechatchila, even ideally. A question was asked before, Stewie asked, what about mevushel? We know, you look at bottles, some bottles are mevushel, some bottles are not mevushel, so we know it runs into problems if you have non-Jews who come in contact with the wine. If it's not mevushel, it's problematic. Pesach, many people use not mevushel wine for the Seder. What about when it comes to Kiddush? Is there any issue with making Kiddush over mevushel wine? Is there any preference to using non-mevushel wine? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, in source number 15, Mekadshin al yayin mevushel v'yayin sheyesh bo dvash. You're allowed to make Kiddush on wine that's mevushel. You're even allowed to make Kiddush on wine that has honey added to it. Okay, I think most wines nowadays don't have honey added to them, but some have sugar added to them. Okay, I think most have maybe, I don't really know, but I think, many wines, I think, no? Anybody out there, no? I think it's a common thing, I think, to add sugar to wine. V'yesh omrim de'eshein mekadshim alem. He says, some say that you should not make kiddush on wine that's mevushal or wine that's sweetened. Writes the Rama, v'haminog l'kadosh lo afilu yesh lo yayin acher rak she'eno tov kimo ha'mevushal o she'yesh bo devash. He says our minog is that we do make kiddush on other wine, on wine that's mevushal or wine that's sweetened. But if the non mevushal wine is assuming that it's better than the non mevushal wine. But again, all things being equal, there is a certain hiddur to making kiddush on non mevushal wine. It's more of a pure state. It hasn't been tampered with too much. It's more of a pure state, and that's certainly a hiddur. Again, you run into issues if you have housekeepers or babysitters or whatever the case might be in your house. Then non mevushal wine can be a little problematic. Most people, I think, today, for kiddush, you use mevushal wine. I think for the siddurim, some people have a chumrah to use non mevushal. But I think for kiddush, most people do use mevushal. I remember in high school, my Rosh Hashiva in high school, Rabbi Friedman, I think he's makbid with the Rambam, actually holds that you cannot make kiddush on sweetened wine. And he has a special unsweetened wine that he uses for kiddush, which I don't think is very tasty. But that's what he uses for kiddush, if I remember correctly, because to fulfill the shita of the Rambam, not to school the Rambam, but the person, Maimonides, to fulfill his opinion. So that's why they use it. Okay. Okay, I'm going to skip the next couple just in the interest of time. Okay, some discussion here about Kosmale, which we talked about a little bit. Okay, let's just conclude here by talking a little bit about the concept of Kos Pagum. We said, just in the last 2 minutes, we said that when you make when you have a Kos Shel Bracha, you're making Kiddush on wine, so the Kos should not be Pagum. What does Pagum mean? Pagum means that someone drank from the cup. Someone drank from the cup. So for example, let's say someone made Kiddush, and they drank from the cup. And let's say they didn't drink that much. So we know you're supposed to drink a cheek full of Malei Lugmav. Let's say they didn't drink that much. They just drank a sip. Okay, now they put it down. And now you come and you see, hey, it's my brother. I'm not worried about the germs. I'll just pick up that cup and I'll make kiddush on it. Look, it's almost full. You just drank a little tiny sip. So you can't do that. Once somebody drinks from the cup, you can't make kiddush on that cup of wine. You can't even make kiddush again on the cup of wine. And that's what the Mishnah Brura writes in source number 19, that it can't be pagum at all. Now, how do you fix a cup that's pagum? You have a cup that's pagum, right? So how do you fix it? So the halacha is that you're allowed to, that basically all you do is you pour more wine into that cup, okay? You pour more wine into that cup. Just 1 second. Yeah. Okay, if you look at number 21, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 21 that the way to fix it, Yecholim Lasakin Kos Pagum Aydesha Yosifu Ma'at Yain, even just adding more wine to it fixes the cup that it's no longer a Kos Pagum. Not only that, Va'afilu Aydesha Yosifu Olav Ma'im Miskan, even if you add in water, right? Even if you fill it up with water, what you're allowed to do when it comes to wine, you can't put too much water in, but a little bit of water is okay. Then that fixes up the cup. That's no problem. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, let's say you poured the wine back into the bottle. So let's say you made Kiddush Friday night. You drank, only drank half a cup. Now you don't want to waste a half a cup of wine. You're making Kiddush tomorrow. You're not worried about germs. So you pour it back into the bottle, and it's fine. The bottle's, even though that cup is pugum, once it goes back into the bottle, it's bottle and the rest of the wine that's in the bottle, and it's no longer pugum. It's no longer pugum at that in that case.
If you make kiddush from the becha, let's say, and you pour off from the becha to a glass cup, and you don't physically touch the becha with the wine, is that pogum?
No, and you drink from the glass cup. Right, so then it's not pogum. Yeah, it's only when you actually drink from it. Now, it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah writes that lechatchila, the best thing to do, if you look at source number 23, v'davka b'di'evad, aval lechatchila asur la'asos kein, v'lachei no'agin, lehosiv alav mitchila me'at me'akankan, u'bazem besukun k'mo besivav, v'yach l'chshov chinosu la'akankan, v'yot kosher ayayin lehotzi l'bracha. He says the best thing to do, sorry for rushing through that, but the best thing to do, he says, is that even though if you pour it back into the bottle, technically it's okay, but the best thing to do is to first pour from the bottle into the cup, Okay? That way now the cup is not pogum anymore. And then to pour it back into the bottle. Just to pour straight back into the bottle, it's okay, b'di'evet, but it's not ideally the best thing to do. So that's when it comes to fixing up a kos pogum. Again, usually it's not such an issue, but if someone drinks a little sip and it makes it pogum, then you have a problem. Yeah?
Is there a inyan of when pouring it back that you're going from something that's kadosh to chol, something like that?
No, not really, because even though it's a kos shel bracha, but you know, it's all wine, you know, it's okay. That's not really a problem.
What's the minhag people have then? When they get to the bottom of the cup, they don't have enough to pour out there, maybe they have more wine for them.
Yes, that's when you give it out to everybody else. Right, we'll talk about that. We'll start next week with that topic of doling out the wine to everybody at the table and how exactly to do it and avoid the issues. We'll discuss that a little bit next week. Okay? Thank you for coming. Good evening, everyone.